Hello and welcome to the Rambling Runner Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Chittum, and this is the podcast for all the dedicated amateur runners out there who are working hard to get better while balancing running with the rest of their lives. And as always, this show is presented by ASICS. Big shout out to ASICS for sponsoring all the episodes here in 2024, even this one, which is going to be the beginning of a new series, which I'm really excited about. Not even a series, just a change in how we're doing things around here. Before I get into that, big shout out to them. I wore the ASICS Keanu 30 yesterday on a run to the end of the week for me. So 8 miles, kind of recovery pace. Well, that was the plan, at least. But I felt so good, even after I ran hard for 12 miles the day before, really pushed it the last three, came back, ran 8 the next morning, and I felt really good. Yeah, excuse me, a little cough right there. And it's a testament to those shoes. They are my favorite max cushion shoes, no question about it. And even more than some of the other ASICS shoes, which are also max cushion. I love the Keanu 30. It has always been a stability shoe. I don't need stability shoes. And these have such a light stability element to them that I don't even notice it. So go check out the Keanu 30 over at ASICS.com today. Also, I think they're going on sale this week because the 31 is right around the corner. So that's always a fun thing, right? Anyone who's bought shoes before knows as soon as the new ones come out, usually the old ones start to get a little discounted. So go check that out today over at ASICS.com. Now, here on the podcast, moving forward, every Monday, we're going to do things a little differently. So this podcast has always been about, since day one, being for and about dedicated amateur runners. And nothing has changed on that front. But I'm going to start doing stuff on Mondays about coaching. So talking about what we can learn from either different techniques, different tips and tricks that people can use, inspiration, motivation, or things that I've taken from other sports or other arenas that can help other athletes. So this is something that, and a lot of these topics are stuff that I cover with my athletes all the time as a coach with McCurdy Trained, and I have found that these athletes have gained a lot from it, and I think that you can gain something from it too. So we're going to start doing these. I've been thinking about doing this for a long time. Some of the athletes that I've had over the years, I asked them about it, said, hey, is this a good idea for a podcast? And it was a universal yes, just an enthusiastic yes. And these are people who listen to podcasts as well. So we're going to get into it today. So what we're going to talk about today primarily is something that has been on my mind for a long time. And I've been reading about it again. This is a topic that I touched on before with a lot of the things that I like to read and something that has been on my mind this week. And that is the concept of desirable difficulties. Okay, so think about this kind of in paradox with an undesirable difficulty, right? Something that is something that's just awful, right? Something that can happen to you that is completely undesirable, whether it's a death in the family, just a wildly catastrophic thing that no one would ever put a positive spin on. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about desirable difficulties, and not desirable in the sense where when it's happening, you're desiring it, because then that is also, doesn't count as a difficulty. If you look at it in the moment and say, you know what, this actually isn't that bad. Well, then is it really a difficulty? Probably not. This is more categorized as such after the fact. So that's an important thing to notice. Okay, so a desirable difficulty is something that hampers you in a significant way and forces you to change either mentally, emotionally, physically, how you approach things, whatever, in a way that, you know, is a serious change, not a slight 2-degree alteration, a significant change that you have to undertake. And then that change ends up leading to the process of building new skills. And then once that has occurred, again, kind of shooting down the timeline here, those new skills gained because of the alterations that you needed to do or the revolutionary actions you had to do because of that difficulty then lead to the altering of your ceiling as an athlete or just the trajectory of your athletic career. Again, this is not simply about athletics. You can take this concept of desirable difficulties and put them in any area of your life or someone else's life. But we're going to talk about this in the athletic sense. So this is something that is touched on in one of my favorite books, David and Goliath, by Malcolm Gladwell, a decade ago. At this point, I think chapter 6 is the what really touches on it. And I really like listening to that book. There's an audiobook that I've listened to many, many times. And this is not the only place it's categorized. Again, Malcolm Gladwell, he's just kind of someone who takes things that are out there and brings them in and kind of like collates them in a way that is really entertaining, but he's not the one who came up with this idea. So let's just put that out there. Just like the 10,000 hours rule. He didn't come up with that. That was Anders Ericsson, but he popularized it in one of his other books. So desirable difficulties. We see this in sports a lot, okay? So say in a team sport, before we get to running, I'll touch on this as a team sport. What we'll see oftentimes is, say, a key member of a team has a serious injury. So not out 2 to 3 weeks. We're talking about out the majority of the season, right? Or gets knocked out for the entire season, has to come back the following year. Now, for that person in particular, that might not be a desirable difficulty, but it might be a desirable difficulty for other members of the team or for the team in general. Oftentimes you see this where a player goes down, and not that any member of the team would want that or any member of the fan base would want it, but that forces the team and specific individuals to step up in ways that they would not have been asked to do if everything had gone according to plan. So all of a sudden, say we're talking about basketball, right? NBA playoffs are going on right now. All of a sudden, the sixth man then gets moved into the starting lineup. And then maybe the 10th person on the bench gets moved into the first, you know, basically the primary spot off the bench role. So all of a sudden, the desirable difficulty is helping the team, not because of what happened with the first move, where the first person off the bench gets moved in the starting lineup. That person was already playing. That person already had a major role on the team. The positive benefit the team could have in this situation would be the person who wasn't playing all of a sudden gets moved into a role on the team where they are dependent upon night after night. And that could be the career shifting opportunity, where all of a sudden this person who maybe they weren't engaged on purpose, or they just like were on the outs, or they weren't forced to produce on a professional level, all of a sudden are being not only asked to do that, but are required to do that by management, by their teammates, and by the fans. And that sort of pressure on them leads them to the next phase of their career. So all of a sudden, they view themselves differently, they act differently, and ultimately they improve in a way that allows them to have a very different career in sports than they would have had originally. Again, all because this one person got hurt. Again, a desirable difficulty for the team that benefited a certain person or persons. I guess that can also happen. So this has been well documented over time, and it isn't simply in sports. But let's move it to ourselves. All right, let's think about how we can improve. All right, what are things that can happen in our athletic career that we view, again, as a difficulty in the moment, but in retrospect, we can view as a desirable difficulty that forced us to change our habits or the way we were living or how we were approaching athletics that ultimately changed the way that we behave and or approach our running, okay? So there's a lot of professional athletes that you can talk about things like this, right? We have, let's look at Kira D'Amato, right? Kira D'Amato was, we view her now as like, wow, she came out of nowhere. Well, that's not quite true. Kira D'Amato was one of the best college runners in the nation, okay? And then proceeded to then start on a professional career after college. Now, she wasn't a supernova star. This isn't a Caitlin Tuohy type situation or a Molly Huddle type situation. Molly Huddle ran against Kira D'Amato in college. It wasn't that like, all right, this person is obviously going to make a mark right out of college. But Kira D'Amato was on the professional scene out of college, okay? But it didn't go great for her. She burnt out. It's been well documented. Things did not go well when she entered the pro ranks. So she ends up bowing out, basically takes almost a decade away from the scene, and then comes back, right? And then the difficulty was what happened when she became a pro, right? That was the difficulty in this situation, in the timeline, right? And then when she comes back, what do we see? We see somebody who now is one of the most effervescent, positive people on the scene, right? She has come back to running in this way that she approaches it with the kind of lightness, optimism, and general good nature that has allowed her to be one of the best running, but the best stars of this entire era, right? We have seen her over and over again, not only break records and win races, but do it with the kind of magnetism that brings people towards her, which makes her a star of stars within the realm. With that said, would that have happened if she hadn't experienced the burnout and injuries that forced her, or at least led her to leave running in her mid-20s? Probably not. That's why she left running in the first place, right? It was a major difficulty that she had to work through. Now, she comes back to running. She doesn't stop working hard, right? If anything, she's working harder than ever. All of her training is on Strava. This woman works incredibly hard. And of course she does. She's one of the best runners in the world, right? She didn't come back like, hey, optimism, lightness, and I'm also going to, you know, take 10% off my training so that, you know, I don't fall into the same, you know, potential traps. She has learned how to approach her running in her athletic career mentally and emotionally in a way that allows her to absorb the kind of training that is necessary to run and beat the best athletes in the world. So the desirable difficulty there was her early pro career, which was the inherent, which I guess we'd say was necessary for her to do what she does now. Again, I'm not Kira DeMonaco. She might disagree with that. Maybe that's not true, but this is just a potential example. And there's so many of these that we can find in sports all over the place. And let's talk about non-pro runners, people like you and me, people who certainly experience many difficulties in life, but ultimately, what can we do to make sure that we can turn those negatives, as crappy as they are? Again, these aren't like minor inconveniences. These are major difficulties that we're turning positive, okay? Or taking positive out of them, I guess is the best way of saying it. We're extracting the positive from them, right? We're extracting the education from the tuition that we have paid for this difficulty. And think about some major injuries, right? We've talked to a lot of people on this podcast who have overcome serious injuries and done so and come back and set PRs. I mean, that's incredible. We had Carrie Bradshaw on this podcast. She had a double hip replacement in her 30s. Double hip replacement. That is wild. It's a wild thing to say. Oftentimes when you hear people talk about that sort of thing, you're talking about the end of an athletic career. That's not the jumping off point, right? But now you look at Carrie Bradshaw's career and her as an athlete, and that's the beginning. That is the paradigm shifting moment, not in a negative sense. Again, it was negative when she was going through it. No question about it. You can't sugarcoat that. But look what she's doing now. She's running incredibly well. She's inspiring people. She's doing immense things. And that's a big deal. Let's take it down a notch. It's something that, that maybe you and I can use in our own lives, right? Maybe a devastating injury, right? Maybe you tear your ACL, okay? Maybe something like that happens. Now, maybe you're someone who tears their ACL playing in the backyard with your kids or whatever. And that sucks, man. That's like, you know, a 6 to 9 month injury, but it can linger 18 to 24 months. That's for sure. Maybe you're somebody who that happened to you, it stinks. And that in order to get back, all of a sudden you're forced into a routine where you're seeing the PT in the beginning stages of your recovery. You're seeing that PT 3 times a week, and you have to do your recovery exercises every day, sometimes multiple times a day, okay? And then you get into months 3, 4, 5, when all of a sudden the range of motion is back, but your leg has atrophied, okay? So you need to build up that leg because you don't want to be relying too much on your good leg, because you don't want to have a domino effect of injuries where all of a sudden all the stuff on your right side has now moved to your left side because you know you're favoring your left side. So you have to work really hard to get back into it. You have to do not only the strengthening work, but the balance work and making sure that all the proprioceptions there, all the little muscles and ligaments and tendons are working, not just the hamstrings, the quads, and the calves. And you were working so hard to do all of that. And then finally, you get back to health and you're like, okay, I'm going to get back into running. Of course, your fitness isn't where it used to be. How could it be, right? But you've worked hard and all of a sudden, this difficult situation, tearing your ACL when you're, you know, in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, right? Not at like when you're 14 years old and you can bounce back super fast. All of a sudden, the difficulty of that situation, the major inconvenience, the time and the effort that you spend day after day, week after week, has now imbibed you with this new routine where all of a sudden going to the gym and working out is now not only something that you know you should be doing, but it's been a part of your life now for a year, year and a half, maybe 2 years, right? This is just part of who you are. So if all of a sudden your knee is back to health, right? It has fully recovered. People recover from ACL injuries and they come back just as good as they were before. That is just a fact now in our medical world, which is fantastic news. Not only that, but now you have created a situation where you working out and being a stronger athlete, that's just the way it is because you have now built this habit. So did you wish that you had the ACL tear? No. If you could go back in time and say, all right, knowing what you know now, now that you've become a better athlete than ever before, now that you're stronger than ever before because you built up this habit of working on your body, not just your endurance training, would you go back in time and have the ACL tear? You'd probably say, no, I wish there was some other way of me kind of inculcating all of this information into my, into myself and then expressing it and going to the gym without this difficulty. In the end, it has become desirable difficulty because of the habits you have created in your life that have changed the trajectory of your athletic career and now have changed the ceiling at which you can get to. And this sort of thing happens all the time. And it doesn't mean that we have to be Pollyanna about our challenges. Doesn't mean that when something happens, you say, okay, well, you know what? This is a positive. All things are positive. Again, is it cool to get there? Great. But you know what? You don't have to brush away your in the moment feeling. Sometimes when I say in the moment, again, I'm not talking about the seconds after you have this difficulty, right? That difficulty can last weeks, months, right? That's not something that can necessarily be glossed over. With that said, can you gain something from that difficulty? Yes, you can. What's it going to be? I don't know. I'm not you. I don't know what your challenges are. I don't know what you're facing, but I do know this. There are people all the time that can extract positive things out of negative situations. It doesn't mean the situations aren't bad. And it doesn't mean if they could change things, they wouldn't want those situations to occur, but you can extract positive. And what are you going to do about it? And when you see what that positive is, are you going to maximize it? Gain the fullest effect from that positive thing that you're taking out of it so that when that difficulty has passed, that you are in a better situation because of the new skills that you learned from the negative situation itself. So that's my little thing on desirable difficulties. Now, before we get going, I do want to give a shout out to one of my athletes. I'm going to leave them anonymous. But if you do follow me on Instagram, you might have seen me tag her. But I will say on one of my favorite things that I've done recently is these My Favorite Workout podcasts that we do every other Friday. One of the first ones we did was Jeff Cunningham, and he detailed a beast of a long run marathon workout. I mean, it's kind of like basically what it is 2 mile warm up, and it's 6 by 2 miles at kind of roughly basically marathon effort. So if you're obviously in rolling terrain, that might mean one thing from a pacing perspective versus flat ground versus elevation, whatever, marathon effort, okay? 6 by 2 miles marathon effort, recovery being 1 mile float. So that's kind of like easy plus or the faster end of easy. So it's not a recovery mile where you're just shuffling along, getting ready for the next 2 mile segment marathon effort. Okay, so it's hard. It's a challenging workout. It's not for everybody, right? If you're a newer runner and you're running, say, 30 miles a week and you're getting ready for a marathon and you just want to finish, this is not the workout for you. Okay, you don't want to be putting in 70% of your training into one run, right? So you need to have a history of at least a brief history of endurance training to take on a run like this. It basically is 20 challenging miles. So one of my runners did this run this weekend, and she did wonderfully. So kudos to her. It really shows that even these really tough workouts, where you look at it a couple of days ahead, you're like, I am not looking forward to this. If you approach it with positivity and you give yourself a shot, and you fuel yourself accordingly, right? 60 to 90 grams of carbs per hour, either through gels and or liquid hydration, and you put yourself in there, and then you see what happens. And I was really proud of her for doing it. She's run a bunch of marathons. She's done a couple of ultras as well. So she was ready for the task. And I was just so happy after the fact to get the positive reviews of like, hey, I'm so glad I did this. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it, but I did it. So kudos to Jeff Cunningham for putting us onto that workout, not keeping it to himself, which I'm sure there are some great workouts out there that some people don't know about because coaches love them so much. They want to keep them to themselves and to their athletes. And I can understand the desire for that. But kudos to Jeff Cunningham for alerting us to this wonderful workout. So go listen to that episode if you haven't done so already. Jeff does a really good job of describing it. And also the other the track workout that he talks about as well, which I've also given to athletes, which is a really interesting one. So what did you think of this inaugural Monday episode that we're going to be doing of basically Coach Matt? So I hope you like it. Hit me up if you have certain recommendations, comments, a certain topic you want me to hit. You can always hit me up at ramblingrunnerpodcast@gmail.com or shoot me a DM over on Instagram. My handle is rambling_runner. Thank you, everybody, and happy running.